Forward, because we're going to open God's Word and be in Philippians chapter 4. And if you didn't bring a Bible, we'd love to give one to you. If you don't have a Bible, take it home with you. It's our gift to you from Pathways Church. But just enjoy reading God's Word with us this morning. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're continuing a series called The Pursuit of True Happiness. And we have been looking at the difference between what our culture might call happiness, or as I would describe as happenings, external things, things in our environment that tend to work to make us happy, versus what God would call true happiness, which is something that's much different. It's an internal sense of God's peace and His presence that comes to us. And the ancient word for that is joy. And Philippians is this book of joy. And I've had joy this week because I haven't had to prepare a message. I have just, oh man, it's been so cool as my family and I have been pushing so hard in this church plant and just everything, just full court press, to be able to have a week and not have to worry about that message coming and really celebrate and just be thankful for all that God has done. All you folks here are just an answer to prayer in a new church plant. And one of the answers to prayer, too, is people that walk with you. And the gentleman that I'm going to introduce this morning is a good friend of mine, Dr. Bill Gaultier. And Bill and I have had the privilege, actually, of really walking together the paths of Irvine for the last 14 years. And as I started in ministry at Mariners Church as a family pastor, Bill, who's a family therapist along with his wife, Christy, in Irvine, came along my side because Bill and I were both passionate about marriage, and we were passionate about family. And so Bill and I have partnered together in parenting workshops. He and Christy have spoken many times in my ministry at Mariners Church about marriage and family issues. And that kindled a spirit in us because our kids were young, and we started just getting together for support, and we started walking, actually, these paths that you all through Irvine. We would walk together in the morning. We would run. We would pray. We would laugh together. I would be able to share my true heart with Bill, some of the challenges that I was having. And he was just a great friend for me. And as that friendship developed, what happened was we became closer to God together. And Bill and I would just begin to pray and ask and think about, what does it mean for a man to put God at the center in Orange County? What does that look like? What's the pathway for that? And we would talk about that. What's it like for parenting? What's it like for marriage? And all of a sudden, the vision of Pathways almost came out of our time together, walking and praying together for the last 14 years. And so I'm excited for Bill to teach you this morning, and this passage I know is really close to his heart. He's been living it out, Philippians chapter 4. So I'm going to pray for Bill, and then we're going to get into God's Word. Lord, thank you this morning for just friendships, and that we can walk with you in such a deep way, and that's in community. And I thank you for Bill. He's been such a great friend to me over the years. And this morning, as he opens God's Word, would you just be present here now and through your Spirit, just teach us as Bill teaches us through your Word in his life. We acknowledge that you are here, Jesus, in our midst. And so continue to teach us your ways, Jesus, as we look to your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bucky. Such an honor to be with you this morning. And have Bucky introduce me like that. Being Bucky's friend is such a blessing to me. And being a part of this church plant with Bucky has been just a great adventure in my life. And here I am to be able to talk with you this morning. I'm so excited to share with you out of Philippians 4. And I just can't help but I've been reminiscing about the first time I saw this building. I walked up here with Bucky when we were looking at different sites. And we walked on this campus, and we looked in this room. Both of our hearts were just like, oh, this has got to be the place. Surely God would open. I mean, it just looks like a church. I mean, it's, you know, high ceilings. And it happened to be a meeting of parents when we met here. And we just said, oh, we could visualize this. And here you are. You came. Oh, it is just fantastic. So we're talking about the pursuit of true happiness. Great series that Bucky has been leading us on. And I just love the way that he's been showing us out of the book of Philippians that true happiness is not circumstantial. You know, it's not something that we get God to give us by doing certain things. True happiness is the joy of the Lord. It's coming into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and walking with him. True happiness comes out of a life of virtue, of character, out of who we are on the inside as God is shaping us and molding us. So it's been such an important series of messages that we've had, we've been sharing together in recent weeks. You know, if you would have told me a number of years ago that I would be teaching a message on joy, I would have just thought, you got to be kidding. I mean, who wants to listen to a depressed guy come up and talk about happiness? Oh, it was about 10 years ago. I like to think it was even longer ago than that. I'm not sure exactly when it was. But I was giving a talk to a group of people, and somebody said to me afterwards, do you ever smile when you talk? And, you know, I learned at that point, you know, a smile is really an important thing. But you can't just put it on your face. It's got to come from your heart. And then there was a time in this group, this team that I was in, small group, and somebody decided that there was a book series, children's book series that you all know, and somebody decided that everybody would be a character in this from this book series. And so they voted who everybody would be. And this is who they voted me to be. Eeyore. That's my daughter, Brianna. So, you want to listen to Eeyore talk about true joy? But you know why I think it's a good thing that I'm up here? If the Lord can get a hold of Bill Galtier, and little by little, bring about the joy of the Lord in his life, he can do it for you. Because that's just not something that is a natural part of the way I am. I am very naturally a melancholy kind of person. And so, as the Lord is working in me, slowly but surely, I think there's some joy bubbling up, enthusiasm for the Lord that's growing in me. That can happen for you. And there's no better place to turn than the book of Philippians. Joy is the theme of Philippians. 20 times in this short epistle, Paul talks about joy, cheerfulness, rejoicing. This is the most cheerful and happy book in all of the scriptures. And the most startling thing about that is the context in which it was written. Where was Paul when he wrote Philippians? Yeah, he was in prison. And do you know what it meant for him to be in prison in that day and age? It meant that he was chained to a prison guard 24 hours a day. Imagine yourself chained to a brute thug, a big, hairy, smelly, foul-mouthed, abrasive and abusive guy, and boring. All sorts of noises coming out of this guy from different parts of the body. 24 hours a day, he's chained to this guy. Not a very happy situation. I think it would be very easy to complain and get negative, especially because Paul didn't do anything wrong. All he did was love Jesus and tell people about Jesus, and he got put in prison. Well, Paul didn't complain. He just exudes with the joy of the Lord. He witnesses to the prison guard, all the people there in the palace where he was held prisoner. He's sharing about Jesus. And he's writing letters, pastoral letters of encouragement to the churches he started, including the church at Philippi. So how did he do this? How did Paul come into the joy of the Lord in such a dreadful situation, such an unfair circumstance? The secret to Paul's joy was that he practiced the presence of God. He knew that the God of peace was with him. That was the one who was really guarding him. He talks about the God of peace guarding his heart. Wow. So our topic is practicing the presence of God, and we're going to talk about three ways that we do that. Three ways that come out of Philippians 4. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to page 832, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Let me suggest, though, that the first run-through, you might want to just listen. Did you know that for most of recorded human history, the experience with God's Word has been hearing it spoken and receiving it orally? It's only in the recent centuries that we've actually had Bibles written that we can hold in our hands and take home with us. It used to be that people had to hear it, internalize it, memorize it, and take it with them. We've lost something in that transition. We've gained something too. Listen to Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Odia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. What words these are from Philippians 4. The first word is therefore. We need to know what the therefore is there for. He's referring back to chapter 3, where Paul has talked about considering all things a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All his achievements, his prestigious birth and training in the law, all these things are rubbish compared to knowing Christ. This is the theme of Paul's life, to be in Christ. All that mattered to Paul was Jesus. Knowing Jesus and helping others to know Jesus. Paul was a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice to his Lord, a student of the Master. He trained with Jesus for his spiritual growth. He practiced the advice he gave to Timothy, train yourself to be godly, 1 Timothy 4:7. He was trained. As a Pharisee, he was trained in the law and in the Scriptures. After he met the risen Christ, he went off into the Arabian desert for 3 years of silence and solitude to be with Jesus and to get to know his Lord. We read about that in Galatians 1, 15 to 18. He fasted for intensive prayer and meditation. He trained to grow in godliness, many disciplines that he practiced. He learned to live his whole life in Christ. 160 times in Paul's epistles, he talks about life in Christ. It's a great study to look up all those verses, all the promises of what life is like for the person who is in Christ immersed in the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to be somebody who lives my life in Christ like Paul. I know that you do too. He talked about this in Christ life as being intimate, like the intimacy of a husband and wife in sexual union. So if there's anything we need to learn from Paul, it's how to practice the presence of God as a disciple of Christ. And if you're following along in your outline, that's the first blank to fill in. A disciple of Christ. Paul says that we need to learn to agree with each other in the Lord. And his point is that we practice the presence of God in authentic community. And that's the second blank you can fill in there. We practice the presence of God in authentic community, one another, in relationship. 6 times in just these 9 verses of Philippians, Paul switches back and forth between focusing on our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Between the vertical relationship and our horizontal relationships. Between the upward worship of God and responding to God and the outward loving one another. 6 times he goes back and forth, sometimes in the same sentence. For instance, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all." He goes back and forth because we just can't separate our relationship with one another from our relationship with God. Jesus put it right in the greatest commandment. We love the Lord our God with all we have, and we love our neighbor as ourself. Love for God, love for one another. We show our love for God by how we love one another. We come to trust more deeply that God really loves us when our brother and sister love us in Christ. The two are so connected. If there's anything that Pathways Church is about, that you hear from Bucky time and again, is that we are an authentic community. A real community of Christ followers. And we saw that last Sunday, right? Most of you were here. We were a community. People shared testimonies of how God has worked in their life. So encouraging. Such honesty that came from our brothers and sisters. Where they're at with the Lord so we can know each other and pray for each other. What a blessing it is to be part of a community. Every Wednesday morning, I'm going to Men of the Path. I see many of my friends there, here, that are go there. Well, I missed a couple weeks ago. I had friends come up to me and say, "Bill, Brother Bill, we missed you." It's good to be missed. It's good to be wanted in a small group. How we need to be part of small groups. I can't wait until January when we're going to open up more small groups for you to be a part of, for an authentic community of disciples to Jesus that want nothing more than to encourage one another and pray for one another that we might grow to be more like Jesus. A primary way that Paul builds community is through affirmation. Time and again in his epistles, we see him affirming people. For instance, he honors women in a society in which women were like servants or worse, like possessions. He lifts up the women, UOD and Syntyche, calls them to agree with each other, honors them as fellow workers contending for the gospel at his side. He blesses the people of Philippi, says, "I love you and I long to be with you. You are my joy and my crown." What wonderful words. Affirmation is one of the best gifts that we can give to one another. How about we practice that right now? Paul says, "You are my joy and my crown." I want to invite you to say to your neighbor on your left and on your right, even though you might not know them, it's okay, we're friends in Christ. Say Paul's words, "You are my joy and my crown." Go ahead, smile and say those words. Doesn't that feel good to say those words and hear those words? That's the kind of people we want to be at Pathways Church, blessing one another, affirming one another, encouraging one another. Paul doesn't stop there. Then he says to the people at Philippi, "You are my loyal yoke fellow." Now, that might not sound like a blessing to you. Has anybody ever called you a loyal yoke fellow? Probably not. This kind of sounds like somebody saying, "Boy, you're a real ox." And actually, I think that's the point. I think Paul is alluding back to the teaching of Jesus. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The imagery here is that we can be yoked to Jesus, just like a young ox is yoked to a trained, mature ox, and together they pull the plow in a steady cadence. This is the great privilege of our lives, to be yoked to Jesus. You and I, learning to walk in his easy yoke. Well, at this point in the passage, verse 4, Paul bursts into exuberant worship, exclaiming, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." This is the message of Philippians, to realize that in the midst of whatever situation we find ourselves in today, whatever trial, whatever struggle, the Lord is near. And because Jesus is here, I mean, he is actually here now with us in the person of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And when we realize this, we have cause to rejoice. It doesn't matter what else is going on in our life. And we, from time to time, we all take our turn going through difficult things, painful things. Some of us more than others. Some of us right now today are in a very painful season of struggle. It's a challenge in these times to remember and learn to appreciate Jesus is here with me and he loves me. And even though maybe he hasn't yet answered my prayer the way I want him to, he is here. He loves me. And how can we express the magnitude of this, that the Lord, the King of Kings, our Creator, the glorious one, so awesome in splendor that when anybody encounters him in this scripture, his glory knocks them off their feet. They fall trembling in the fear of the Lord. This Lord God Almighty comes to you and I in gentleness, in tenderness, in affection, and he calls us friends. This is the greatest honor, the greatest privilege, the greatest blessing we could ever have. And it is truly a cause for rejoicing. How do we learn to practice the presence of God? The third blank to fill in is through spiritual disciplines. Many Christians don't understand spiritual disciplines. Just the word discipline might sound heavy and overwhelming and oppressive to you. Spiritual disciplines are not ways to earn brownie points. They're not legalisms or chores. They're not things we have to do. They're just simply ways to be with Jesus in order to become like him. The old expression for spiritual disciplines is that they are means of grace. Ways to connect with a God who loves us. There are many practices, many different pathways to grow in God's grace. Sacred pathways for connecting with the Lord and growing spiritually as disciples. Did you notice that I called them pathways? That'd be a good name for a church. As I conclude, let me just briefly highlight the sacred pathways that Paul brings out just in these 9 verses. First, he brings out spiritual friendship. Now, we already talked about that under the heading of authentic community, agreeing with each other in the Lord. The kind of friendship where drawing close to one another leads us closer to Jesus. The kind of friendship where conversation is prayer, and prayer is conversation with a friend. Paul brings out the importance of worship. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is a second spiritual practice, another fundamental one. I mean, these are right in our mission statement, our vision statement for Pathways Church, right? We are here to encourage one another along sacred paths with Christ, which means we're here to be apprentices to Jesus, to follow Jesus together and learn from Him how to live our lives as He would live them if He were us. And we have 3 main expressions for how we do that, 3 main pathways, right? Intimate worship, authentic community, and compassionate service. These are broad categories of spiritual disciplines. So worship, so fundamental to who we are at Pathways Church and who we are as Christians. I learned from Ray Ortlund just the most helpful living example of what it means to worship the Lord. I was privileged to be discipled by Ray over the years. And he taught me there's nothing more important, Bill, than learning to walk in the presence of the Lord and to realize that He is in your midst. And just to shoot up little arrow prayers, he called them, little arrow prayers, as often as you can remember. I love you, Lord. Father, I adore you. Jesus, you're my teacher, my friend. How blessed I am that you're my Lord, you're my friend. Holy Spirit, I welcome you here. See, we can shoot up little prayers like this. Momentary, affectionate words of appreciation to our Lord. In the midst of whatever we're doing, that's how we practice the presence of God. It's a lifestyle of worship. Paul urges us to offer thanksgiving to God in all of our prayers. Thanksgiving is another spiritual practice. We just celebrated Thanksgiving Day. Probably you went around your table and gave thanks. Or in some way you were mindful of God's blessings in your life. Every day can be a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. Every moment. How about submission? It's another spiritual practice. You know, Philippians 4:6 are some of the most recited words in all of the Bible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you know that when we recite those words, we're offering a prayer of submission? What's being portrayed here is that we're going before the altar of the Lord and laying upon that altar our concerns, that whatever it is that we're doing that day on our calendar, anything that's going on in our life, something we might be tempted to worry about perhaps, we're laying that before the Lord, submitting it to Him. Lord, Your will. Lord, in Your way, at Your time. The prayer of submission, fundamental spiritual practice. You know, as a psychologist, many of the people who seek my help do so because of problems with anxiety. I know about anxiety. I've lived with anxiety. I was in my own psychotherapy for some years, a number of years ago, to get help with anxiety. This can be crippling for people. Paul is a great psychologist, and here he teaches us how to deal with anxiety It's the prayer of submission. If you learn how to live in submission to Jesus Christ ever more deeply, anxiety and worry will dissipate and dissipate and dissipate. You will learn to grow in the peace of the Lord as you learn to practice submission. Meditation, another great spiritual practice that Paul is teaching us here in Philippians 4. He talks about it in terms of thinking on God's goodness all the time. I found that the best way to meditate is to memorize Scripture, especially passages of Scripture, paragraphs, even whole chapters. Like Psalm 23. Many of us have memorized Psalm 23. And other psalms are great prayers to commit to memory, to hide in your heart. And see, then you can take God's word with you wherever you go. This teaches us how to meditate like nothing else. I can tell you that there are so many spaces in our schedules that we might think of as dead spaces. And if you memorize Scripture, you can meditate on it and pray it in these places while you're driving in your car, while you're waiting in line, while you're brushing your teeth, getting ready in the morning, washing your face. Even while you're listening to a friend, you can shoot up a little prayer, a verse from Scripture. And the key to learning to meditate this way is, first of all, memorizing the Scriptures, but then you've got to remember. A couple of things I do to help me remember to meditate, to remember to practice the presence of God. I got this. This is our text here, Philippians 4, 1-9. Most of my time preparing for this message was just memorizing and meditating on these words, just turning them over and over in my mind, visualizing them. But I just put it in this little plastic sleeve, carry it in my pocket, and then I feel it there, and it reminds me, oh yeah, my passage, I want to pray that, I want to meditate on that. And then another thing I do is I often will carry a rock with me. And some of my friends tease me about all the rocks I've got. I collect rocks. This is a, because they're prayer rocks. Holding a rock in my hand reminds me to pray. This one comes from Caesarea by the Sea in Israel. I visited Paul's prison where he wrote these letters. This, I believe, is a piece of the wall where he was imprisoned. So when I hold this rock, I think about the Apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I pray those words. Or rejoice in the Lord always. And I just shoot up a little prayer using my rock to remind me to pray. Practicing the presence of God. That was a follow-up. Maybe you want to learn more about these things we're talking about. This is one of the great values at Pathways Church, is that we really want to be students to Jesus. There's only so much that we can experience together on Sunday morning. Most of the work, most of the opportunity is between the Sundays. And we have some handouts for you, two handouts that you might want to pick up if you want to do further study. One is Spiritual Disciplines for Your Soul, which is a summary, a brief summary of 30 spiritual practices. There's more than 30, but these are 30 of the most common, tried and true ways that people have connected with the Lord over the years, over the centuries. Maybe you want to develop your own rhythm of life with the spiritual disciplines. And then there's also a copy of a Christian Soul Care devotional that I wrote. I write this and send it out in the email a couple times a month, and it's called Can You and I Really Change? And it's just a 2-page short article that gives you an example of how I have been practicing what we're talking about this morning. And I started doing a certain special training program with Jesus about 4 months ago on this very issue of rejoicing in the Lord. And that gives you an example of how I've done that, because maybe you need to develop your own customized plan with the Lord. So if you go to the Pathfinder Center table after the service, you can pick up one of those handouts. And if we run out, just email me. So you can go to my website, christiansoulcare.com, and I'll send it to you by email. Now, What we're going to do now before we go into worship is we want to give you the gift of sacred space. It's one of the important values of Pathways Church and how we do Sunday mornings is to make a space for you to personally meet with Jesus. So we're going to give you some minutes of silent prayer and reflection. And to lead into this, I want to share with you one of my favorite movie clips from the movie Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell was an Olympic gold medalist runner. And in 1924, he ran the Olympics that were in France. He was a student at Oxford. His sister was frustrated with him because she wanted him to be on the mission field in China, but he chose instead to run and train for the Olympics. And he made the Olympic team for Britain. The race that he was to run, which was the 100-meter race, was on the Sabbath. He was a devout Christian. He wouldn't run on the Sabbath, so he pulled out of his life's dream to run that race for his country. Another English runner so badly wanted Eric to run that he gave up his place in the 400-meter race, which wasn't on Sunday, and so Eric got to run. The other runners in the quarter mile are sure that Eric will run out of gas because he's a sprinter, not a quarter mile runner. I want you to watch in this clip how Eric runs. He runs like nobody runs. Horrible form. Clutching a note, head held back, mouth wide open, flailing his arms, laughing. He's in the joy of the Lord. Horrible form for a runner, but great form for living. Watch how Eric Liddell experiences the pleasure of God.
Jenny.
Says in the old book, he that honors me, I will honor. Good luck, Jackson Schultz. So where does the power come from to see the race to its end from within? God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Like Eric ran that race in the joy of the Lord, delighting to be near Jesus in all that we do. We're going to go into a time of quiet for reflection, for you to consider before the Lord. What helps you to rejoice in the Lord? When do you feel God's pleasure? Might be in little things like running or planting a garden or doing something fun with your family. When do you feel the joy of the Lord? I feel the joy of the Lord when I get to be Christ's ambassador and draw people closer to Him. In this time of quiet, some of you might feel antsy or jittery. Your minds might get distracted. That's okay. It takes practice to be quiet before the Lord. Let's practice now. Just talk to the Lord about how you might grow in the joy of the Lord. And after a few minutes, Jeff will come up and lead us in worship.
Let's sing the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. Stay thou nearby. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
This hymn was written by Annie Hawks in 1872. As a young wife and mother of 37 years of age, just doing the household chores, caring for her kids, she was suddenly struck with the nearness of Jesus and came to realize that every hour can be a sweet hour of prayer in the presence of the Lord. And she learned to offer up whatever she was doing in that moment to Jesus. As Jeff leads us in this great hymn again, I invite you now to think about what's ahead today or this week and imagine yourself singing these words to Jesus. Whatever we're doing, Annie herself was ministered to by her own hymn many years after she wrote it and after it became world famous, when her husband died and she was in grief. And she sang these words, I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can please afford. Third verse, I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, oh, life is mine. I need thee, oh, I need thee,
just stand with me and let's just sing that chorus, just a cappella with just your voices. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Come bless me now, my Savior. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Let's lift our voices together as we come to Jesus, proclaiming that we need him. Let's just lift our voices and praise him.
And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your
that again. I will lift,
and I will lift my voice to worship you, my King.
And I will find my strength. I will